Blog Talk Radio.
You gonna do it? I don't know what music. What?
All right, Robin, let's do it, man.
You.
Let's do this, man. I feel good today now. Hard to mess my day up today, man. I don't know. I'm trying to think what can happen, but I ain't all wrong. I'm going to go into all that, trying to figure out what can happen to mess my day up. But just wanted to tell you had a good day today, man.
Don't
see
talk into existence. Yeah, man. What's
so good about today? Man, Livingstone was in town today, brother.
Was that today?
Livingstone came to town. Yes, sir. It was today.
Oh, man.
We had the president, man. Dr. Jimmy R. Jenkins Sr. was here.
Did he have his tennis shoes on?
No, he didn't have his tennis shoes on, man.
Okay.
Did he wear tennis shoes a lot, man?
Last time I saw him at the home, maybe because it was homecoming. He had some very comfortable shoes on.
He was chilly. He was chilly.
He had on his suit, though, but he had some comfortable shoes on.
We
I wasn't mad at him, now. I was mad because his shoes were more comfortable than mine, and I was supposed to be comfortable. So
I know what you mean.
Anyway.
I know what you mean, man. Yeah, it was a big day, man. I just posted some pictures on Facebook today about today's event. And I'm trying to tell you, man, I thought I was going to come home and take a nap before I called in to this, you know, to get our show started today, man, but I couldn't sleep. My adrenaline is still high.
That's pretty high. So did the band come and they march and they play? What did the band do?
The band, we were in the gym, right? But the band came, they brought the pep band, they brought a stroll team, they brought Mr. and Ms. Livingstone. They brought some of the departments like the financial aid. And it was amazing, man. It was big stuff. Of course,
wow.
Kim was there, Kim Harrison with the public relations department.
Mm-hmm.
County. Got to let people know when I'm on this show. Some people call, wait till I get on the show to call me. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, thought everybody I knew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Maybe they think they're calling the show. They don't. That's not it.
No, that's right.
I'm
trying to help them, though, bro. I appreciate what you're trying to do. But, yeah, man, it was a beautiful day. what Livingstone does, what we're able to do with our partnership with the school system is allow these types of things to happen. And I don't want to say that. I'm just trying to encourage more people to, more groups and more organizations to get involved with the school system. I mean, the school system is, in my opinion, the school system are constantly looking for ways to enhance their product. When I say their product, I mean their educational product.
Mm-hmm.
So they're constantly looking for ways to enhance it. And if organizations get involved, the churches get involved, it's got to be a positive thing, man, you know, for this, when this happens. Because you get
totally
the opportunity, you know, have people, different people with different connections, different people with different ideas. And to be honest with you, man, school, it can get pretty boring if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So we have to do all we can do, you know, to make sure that the school system stays, you know, exciting and, you know, can hold young people's attention, because there's so many things out there that that's grabbing at their attention.
Let me ask you this, Leon. Let you get back to Livingstone, but I have a question.
Yeah, man.
Is the education system failing to prepare children and young adults for the job opportunities that are actually available? I look at this conversation I've had with several people, and I'm in workforce development, and I'm in this education school system, so I'm kind of living. I have a foot in both departments. But what I see as someone who's developing workforce and businesses is that somewhere along the way, it seems like our community has missed a step on the skill level, the skills. What's happening now is that a lot of the young folks are coming out of school with education, but very, very few practical skills. And we're seeing other communities with less education, less formal education and degrees, but they're making money, they're moving up the economic ladder because they have acquired skills either in their native countries or even after they've gotten here. They have marketable skills, things like plumbing and roofing and construction. And these folks, they'll take those skills and go out here and charge $75, $80, $100 an hour. And they're using that and leveraging it to buy businesses and property and things like that. And what we have on the other hand, and it's not unique to our community, but you have a lot of people with these liberal arts degrees and things like that, and they pack salad with $100,000, $60,000 of student loans. So I'm just wondering if this is something that the education system needs to be revisited. Somebody needs to revisit this and take a harder look at what's happening to the people coming out of school, and what are the schools doing about it?
Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, and a lot of trade schools now are very popular. You know,
I would imagine.
Trade schools. Yeah, trade schools are very popular. You know, because school, like I say, school can get pretty boring, man. And then the next step is, in as much as I'm an advocate of going to college, it's not realistic for a lot of people now, because college tuition is like, even if, you know, our small schools now, they're averaging like $25,000 a year for tuition. When I say tuition, mm-hmm. I'm talking about room and board and all that. So it's not realistic for a lot of people. And then when a lot of people get out and get their good degrees, they come out, and then they're looking around like, now what, right?
Yeah.
Now what? Because like you said, these guys in the trade schools have been out here while you're in college grabbing up the jobs.
They're starting jobs that because what I've seen is I remember back in the day we used to have home economic and shop and what that other thing we used to have something about development. We used to call them all the kids. We were kind of thumbing our noses at them because they were the area that with the drills and things like that. Yeah, we were there talking about we're college bound, but we're like, you know.
Yeah, they're gonna get in the hands for easy with all of them.
Right. these guys are sitting pretty
ain't
now.
Doing it. Hey, I'm like, I ain't doing it. I'm going
so,
to college.
Industrial arts, stuff like that. Yeah.
Sure.
And but see, I'm not taking a negative view of either one. I just feel like there is there's not enough emphasis on learning the skills for the people that are not really going to do well in college. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying if you're going to go in an area where you can get a skill. I'm telling a story here. Tell you a story right now. Now, I'm proud of my Bachelor of Arts degree in political science. I took it because I was planning to go to law school. I came out of school, magna cum laude, did very well. And somewhere along the way, though, I just happened to grab you probably heard this story before, I happened to grab a little bit of corner of technology.
Mm-hmm.
My field wasn't my major. I just happened to have a liking for computers. I like taking them apart. I like working on them. At Livingstone, there was one course called computer science. We didn't even have a daggone computer in the room. We would sit around and drew boxes and stuff, flowcharts. But somewhere along the way, I picked up a skill. I picked up a skill in technology. Now I can put a computer together. I can work on a server. I can do websites. I can do hosting. I can do a lot of things in the computer world. I can do. So I met a networking event, and this young lady, she knows all about me. She's telling me she needs somebody. She needs somebody with my skills, and I'm thinking all this marketing skills and degree that I have. Political science and speaking engagements and radio and media buying. She wanted to put me on this government contract, but she wanted my skill, which was the technology. None of the other stuff I did mattered.
Okay.
And now I didn't stop doing the marketing. I still do the marketing. I still do it. That's still my bread and butter. And recently as a month ago, I get somebody invited me to bid on a contract with the Washington Teachers Union, a 5,000 member group here in the D.C. area. All the teachers that you see on TV from Washington, D.C., they're represented by this union, WTU. They needed somebody with some skills. Once again, I'm sticking out my marketing chest.
Right.
It's like, no, dog, we need your technology skills. We need a skill.
He going to stick his little chest out about marketing.
We want a skill. We want a guy that can get his hands dirty. Now, of course, technology is not exactly getting your hands dirty, but it's sort of like it's a skill, though. It's a skill. It falls under the level of skills where you really have to. And when you have a skill, you never run out of work. That's what I'm saying. If you have a skill that's in demand, you will always work. I don't care if that skill is cutting grass. If you're the best, one of the guy that comes on the radio show before me, Leon, I'm sure you may have stumbled. Mm-hmm. You probably heard him if you tuned in to me earlier. You got a nature boy that talks about horticulture and stuff.
Right.
This guy's a millionaire. This guy owns a daggone farm. This guy got a spread out in Southern Maryland. He started that. He got that by having that skill and knowing how to put plants in the ground and cut grass. So he's got contracts now with everybody. Government, state, school systems, corporate America. Started out just cutting grass and just got good at it. And he done hired probably 20 or 30 people. And that's his skill. So I think that the pendulum has, and I understand the culture, the nature of it. I understand the history. when you've been skilled in the skilled all your life, all your history has been based on getting your hands dirty and dirt up on your nails and sweating in the sun and hot chops and factories. Last thing you want to you're going to run from that like it's a plague. You want something where you can sit out in the AC with a suit on. Unfortunately, those jobs are gone. They're gone and they're going.
They're gone.
They're just not there. They are not there.
That's true. This is
because
true.
I'll tell you, one of the big reasons is because of mergers and acquisitions. When AOL buys Time Warner, they don't need five vice presidents. They only need like one or two. So two of them got to go. They don't need five or six office managers. You don't need three people answering the phone. All those jobs are gone. And plus, people aren't building these big. That's what I'm saying. People aren't building these big infrastructures anymore. That needs managers and people like that. This stuff has been technology is taking over those jobs now. So the only thing that almost left now are skilled jobs. Things that and of course the robots are taking a lot of those too. But there are certain things in like in nursing and technology, security. Accounting is still pretty popular. Finance things are still pretty popular. But I think there needs to be a coming a meeting of the minds because I don't think we can expect the other folks to really do it for us. Maybe it's really, they're just going to sit there and watch us implode. This is something that we have to do. This is something we have to do. We have to look at what the schools are doing and channel those resources in the direction of where the jobs are. And that might mean these liberal arts colleges may have to start taking on more skill-based curriculums to start showing people how some of these, to do some of this stuff that where money is actually being made and careers are being built.
I think Livingstone, you know, they're kind of getting it. You know, like I said, they've started this culinary arts program. That's one thing.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. It
we
is.
Need
that's
more of that.
That's not something you can really, what you call, mechanize or whatever the word is.
Nope.
That's
they're
going to
try,
you can,
but not really.
You got to do that, huh?
Yep. They're going to try to mechanize it, but you can't. Right, because that requires artificial intelligence has limitations. Certain things you got to put a human touch on, and that's one of them. So I would say hats off to Livingstone. And, you know, we have schools like A&T that are actually already in the engineering and technology field. Hats off to them. But I think we got to start channeling our youth in those directions, so that they understand that there's a cliff down there. Really, there's a cliff. And I know too many people, their kids are sleeping in or living in the basement after coming out of college. This is like an epidemic.
Son sleeping in the car, man.
Yeah, it's an epidemic.
Man,
really,
it's tough out here, man. It's really, you know, and one of the big reasons is these student loans, man.
Yeah.
Talked to a lady the other day. She said her daughter came out on $40,000, and that's not the worst case scenario.
Yeah, she came out pretty good.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's tough out here, man.
Our neighbor
really,
across the street.
It's really tough.
We have a neighbor
across
the street. This guy has been out of school probably. Probably been out of school about 5-6 years, probably longer than that. Came out of college.
Mm-hmm.
He never left home. He's probably been there, I think he's almost probably close to 10 years now. And he's got a typical degree. I don't know what it was, English, history, who knows what, liberal arts degree, basically. And he was going to go into, I think he wanted to be a broadcaster, a communication, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And certain degrees are good if you plan to follow up and somehow get in there and do the work and start at the very, very bottom. And when I say the bottom, I mean learn how to work the cameras and the audio equipment, because at that level you're actually learning a skill as well. But you can't just walk out of those jobs and expect a high-paying job, a I mean, those degrees with a effect of high paying job waiting on you. So he's been kind of like waiting around for this opportunity to land on his lap, and I don't think he's actually done any real work. He's been like doing these temp jobs, and I kept saying to myself, if this guy had picked up a skill somewhere, I'm not even saying get a skill instead of a degree. I'm saying get a skill too. You know what I'm saying? Get a skill also. And that's where schools, high schools, can do a better job. So somebody can have something to fall back on. You know what the skill has become nowadays? It's chair driving. That's the skill right now. Everybody knows how to drive. That has become the skill. Lyft and Uber. When you can't do anything else now, instead of falling back on technology or culinary or something like that, that a lot of people do have because they either learned it through their culture or their family taught them or it was part of a family business. A lot of folks that have fallen through the economic cracks now, they're relying on jobs like Lyft and Uber. The problem with that, Leon, is that these jobs are a dead end. You're not going to become the vice president of Uber. I can guarantee you that by driving a car. So where are you going with that? Where does that lead you?
Yeah.
It's like a drug.
No benefits.
It's a dead end. It's like a drug.
Jobs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a drug because there is no – once you get in, it's hard to get out because you're spending all this time driving, which means you're not pursuing other opportunities.
Right.
All of a sudden now you got to pay the mortgage, you got to pay for the car, you got to do this, mess around and get a baby or something. Now you really can't get out, and you are trapped in an endless cycle doing something that requires basically no skill that anybody can do, and the chances of going upward are zilch. So I haven't been on the anti-Uber bandwagon hard yet, but I did a couple of shows on Radio 1 a few weeks ago. I did mention to folks that this is I feel like the Ubers are becoming like the payday loans of the job industry. It's like you get in, but it's hard to get out.
Get in, but it's hard to get out.
Easy to get in, but it's hard to get out.
Most things
it's like those
way,
payday
right?
loans. Like those payday loans. You get a payday loan, they go in there and show them a pay stub, and they give you all the money you need up to the amount of that stub. But that you by the time they pay you back, they take that little piece off the top. Now you got less money than you would have gotten from your paycheck. So now all of a sudden you got less money, but you still got the same number of bills. Now you got to get another loan. And another, and another. You're in now, you can't get out.
Yeah,
same thing with these ride share types. So I'm saying, Leon, don't ever going to tell people not to go to college. But the new economy, the new realities of the economy that we're living in requires skills.
Well, Dr. Dickens said today, Robert. And he says this every time he speaks. He said, education is the surest vehicle for upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Education is the surest vehicle. And what he's saying about that, he said, I know a lot of y'all listening to me saying, what about winning the lottery? He said, what does old Addy say? A fool and his money is soon departed. He said, So even if you win the lottery, we can pretty much guarantee in a few days it's going to be gone and you're going to be suffering. So education is it. You got to get that education. But it's difficult making that case when it's so expensive. But here's the advice to people. Find a skill, and find a way. Everybody won't do it, but find a way to get your college paid for.
Yeah,
have good grades, good scholarships. I mean, get grants, get stuff. There are things out there. There are so many things out there that people aren't tapping into. Every day I meet young people saying, I need to go to college or I want to go to college, but I just can't afford it. I can't do it. There are people out there that specialize in getting you the money that will get you into college. Talked to a young man today. He said he got a scholarship in football, but he didn't pay attention to the small print. Told him he needed that extra $5,000, and now he's out struggling to get that $5,000, which, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but if you don't have it, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if it costs $30,000 a year to go to that school, and they say, well, you're going to only have to pay us $5,000. If you don't have $5,000, that's a lot of money.
That's true.
That's a lot of money. Where are you going to find that at?
A good little chunk of change. You're going to find that laying around in the under your sofa pillows.
Mm-hmm. No, sir. It won't be in the jaws. Huh? You can have all them jaws in the house. You won't come up with that.
Mm-mm. Go shape, man. Everybody owe you money. You go beat up everybody.
Yeah, we're talking about Joseph right quick. We're talking about college. Your big brother Joseph told me tonight he probably would not call in tonight because, you know, North Carolina Central University won the MEAC basketball tournament against North Carolina A&T.
Joseph up there? He's at the game.
He's not at the game. He's probably watching it at the sports bar or around the house.
Okay.
But he clearly didn't want to. He wanted to stay focused on the game tonight. So I think they're playing North Dakota State, and if they beat North Dakota State tonight, you cannot begin to imagine who they will play next, who they will have the opportunity to whoop next.
Mm-hmm. So this is the March Madness, I guess they're talking about. Huh?
It's mad. It's mad, brother. You didn't guess, man. You're supposed to guess who they're supposed to beat next.
Oh, Duke?
That's it.
Really, Duke?
That's who they're going to beat next.
I was kidding. Them boys going to be playing the Blue Devils next.
They're going to be playing the Blue Devils next. I asked Joseph if they really want to stress themselves further after North Dakota. Follow them, I'll lay on the ground and they're going to whoop them.
Yeah, Duke. That Duke, I don't know.
Big Zion. Like, you know, Big Zion Mom at Livingstone, you know.
That big guy that fell out of his shoes. Is he back at home yet?
Yeah, so big he tore out of his shoes. I thought he was turning to an incredible hunk out there and start busting out of his clothes.
I heard that he was doing something and something happened to his feet when he was. Come on, Zion.
He hit brakes too hard out there or something, man, and he busted it out of his shoes.
Did he get hurt?
Yeah, he was out a few games, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't think he hurt him that bad, though.
Sorry, Zion.
Yeah, he was out a few games, man.
He's okay now. Sounds like he got a little after effect going on there.
Yeah.
You all right, Zion?
He ain't feeling good.
I think it's... All right, Zion. We good. All right, Zion. I think it's good.
He ain't feeling too good. He's not feeling good.
All right, Zion. But he went to live. His mom went to Livingstone.
That's a fact.
Wow. Man,
that's a fact.
I love that. I love that kind of stuff. Glad the brother's fine though. Glad the brother's fine. So, but he's a big Duke.
I wish he'd gone to Livingstone. I wish he'd played for Livingstone, man. Wouldn't that been cool?
Yeah, man. Golly, man. You know, that's another.
That's a whole new show.
I've been very pensive lately about things, and that's another one that I've been not the going to school, but whether you patronize the black business, the black college, the black this, or do you go where your needs are met or better served, or do you or is there a, I tell you a challenge I ran into. It's like you have the black business, and if people say go to the black business, and I like that, that's cool, we should. But you can't get all your needs from the black business. A lot of things you just can't get from a black business. There are no black, nobody, we're not growing food necessarily, we're not making cars.
Well, Robert, let me say this. If you can't, you just can't, right?
Right.
So we just have to go, but we should really find some loyalty as far as trying to support black businesses, because we know that's the only way those businesses are going to stay in business, is if we support them. And I understand, yeah, that's everything. But when we can't get there, we just have to accept we can't.
Yeah,
but
we must try
to support the best we can.
And I'm gonna tell you, man, I'm 100% behind it. I have my bank is black. I bank with an industrial bank. I even drive 5 miles out of the way to bank with this bank. And I was kind of fussed with them the other day because they had trouble with cashing one of my checks and some foolishness. And I told them, I said, look, guys, I ain't want to pull this card, but I drive 5 miles out of the way to bank with you guys. And you don't have the app, so I can't scan the check like I can with Capital One and the other banks. So, but it demonstrates my commitment to. I said they're going to have to pretty much shoot me for me to not do business with them. The printer I use to print all my most of my printing materials is a black printer. My office where I'm. My landlord is a black lady, and I am trying my best. I do everything in my power to circulate money in our community. What I challenge, though, is if you take that to the in its purest sense, sometimes it discourages people. Then they give up. If you tell them you only got to do that, and then the first time they run into a roadblock, they say, I tried and it didn't work, and then they don't go to any black business.
Exactly.
So I'll be trying to find that medium so that we get more people, even though you can't get everything black, admit that some things you won't be able to get black. Admit that you may have to drive a little further, work a little harder. But you still, just like you said, you still have to try.
You got to try, brother.
Otherwise,
you gotta try, man.
They don't stand a chance.
No, not a chance at all, bro. So yeah, man, we have to try. And speaking on behalf of black businesses and a person who tries to be in black business myself, you know, when I say black business, I'm talking about the nonprofit business, actually. But we actually are service. We're a service organization more so than a business. But we have to find ways to sustain, and one of the ways we try to sustain is rent our facility out. So we try to make sure we're the very best facility for people to rent, you know. We try to make sure we're always clean. We try to make sure the floors are shiny, you know, make sure it's a good atmosphere. We have all the amenities that anybody else could offer. And we can say with confidence, you should come here first. We can say that with confidence. You should come here first. You have no reason not to come here. So that's the approach we have to take. And I notice you have the same attitude about it, that attitude of excellence. You know, it's an excellence. And, you know, it's just you want to be what from another business, you know. And I'm not overly critical of other businesses. I don't sit there and say, man, y'all should be doing this and you'll be doing that. You know, but we have our expectations. We don't expect any less because we're going to a black business. We don't try to say, okay, well, y'all are black, that kind of thing. You know, I understand. So we have to be excellent. Just provide an excellent service, and that's easy to do. That's really easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's not asking much. That's easy. What are you going to say, man? I'm sorry.
No, I was amening you, but I was also saying that as a marketing consultant, the best marketing advice that I give to my clients. I will set them down, and they come in, they just ready to go out here and start spending money on advertising and, hey, throw up me a new website and get me a nice logo and get me some shiny folders and brochures, put some little, get me one of them thick business cards with the foil around the edge, and let's look, slowly roll, dog. Hold on, let's slow down. Let's slow down. And that stuff ain't worth a hill of beans if you got crappy service, okay? Let me tell you something you can do today without spending a single dime. Just hold on to your money for a minute. Think about every client that you are doing business now with, and I want you to exceed their expectation. Don't just meet enough the minimum to make say that they were happy. I want you to make. I want them to say, "I cannot believe they did that," and they just can't stop talking about it. That's my secret sauce, Leon. Man,
that's some good sauce.
I get these.
That's good sauce.
I get every day I come in my office, almost bar none, somebody either calling me or emailing me, now they're texting and tweeting and IMing, saying that I never would have expected to get this kind of service. This young lady, she's opened she has a natural hair shop. We did her logo, we did her name, we did her slogan, create the label for her products, and she just wrote me this note the other day. Like, we are just growing by leaps and bounds. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like, but when somebody gives me their money, it's almost like an obsession with me now. I used to be nervous about coming to work because I felt like somebody's going to be mad and somebody's going to be chasing me down and trying to find me. Man, they can't get rid of me. I'm calling them. I'm finding them. I was at that website working out for you. And they're like, what? Somebody actually called? They're like, how's everything going? I'm emailing them, just checking in. I know we hadn't talked in a while. Just wanted to make sure everything was okay. And next, it's almost like a week later, they referred somebody to me. Didn't cost me an extra penny. And I think that's the... When my marketing advice goes into people's ears now, it shocks them because they're coming in the door with their wallets out. Because I'm sure the last person they went to and the person before that, they told them they got to spend all this money first. I said, yeah, we're gonna spend some money eventually, but you're not ready to spend any money right now. We got to get the foundation right. Your product's got to be right. Your service got to be good. Then we're going to go out and tell the world about it. That's when we're going to start spending the money. But right now, I don't think we're at that point. that kind of freezes right. For a minute. Like, this dude's crazy. You gotta want my money yet. Nope, not yet. Hold on. We'll get to that.
Now, give me the money yet, man. Right now, you're not gonna be satisfied with my service.
And guess what I tell
you
them
about that? Your people are satisfied with your service.
This was really shocking. I said, when we do that, you won't have to be ashamed to tell people you are a black business. That's the problem. People, there's a bad stigma associated because generally they expect bad service. If you don't give them bad service, you're going to shock them, and that's going to blow their mind. And you don't have to hide the fact. You don't have to hide behind the fact I'm a black business, I'm scared to tell somebody. Well, what you're scared to tell them is that you might give them bad service. And that just happened. The personification of that is usually a black business. That's what we have to change. So I don't buy that when somebody comes in my office trying to say, oh, I don't want everybody to know I'm black. I say, look, we got to talk. Let's talk. I'm not saying you got to put it on the everything that goes out the door that says you're a black-owned business, but you definitely shouldn't have to hide it. That's all I'm saying. Just be what you are. Come in. Don't exaggerate it, but don't hide from it.
That's a narrative. That's definitely a narrative that needs to be redirected. One of the good things is, one of the things now is, man, the tide is turning. People are becoming more conscientious about supporting each other.
Yeah.
You know, once that tide changes, you know, see them start painting These light skinned other black folks start doing blackface to let people know that they've been to the other black.
They'll stop putting those ambiguous people on their website. You don't know what they are.
Those ethnic ambiguous people.
Right.
Like, well, you don't know what color that is. Who is that? So yeah.
That's it.
So yeah, man. We're changing. The tide is changing. And to go back, I'm gonna go back, flip back on your thing about schools again. Schools didn't change like everything else changed. They didn't update fast like it. You know, technology is moving so fast, man. You just can't. It's just really hard to keep up with. And
right.
Schools are one of the slowest ones, especially these urban. When I say, I meant to say not urban, but. Boy, what do you call these areas? I mean, country towns. That's all I can think of.
Rural.
Rural. There you go, my bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the rural areas, we're really having some challenges with technology, you know, being advanced in technology. But we're catching up slowly. You know, we're a few years behind on most things. But we're catching up. But then again, I'm going to say this again. Organizations, churches, all those people have to be on hand to complement what the school system is doing. The school systems, they get a lot of money, but they need help, you know, figuring out what to do with the resources that they have. And, you know, places like the Holler Center have to be nearby to help, you know, support what the school systems are trying to do. Because it's unimaginable what a lot of kids go through at home every night. You can't imagine it. You would not imagine what some kids go through at home every night. So it's important that somebody's in that community that knows. That makes sense.
Right.
It's important
right.
that if you're in that community, that you understand, because the teachers that are at the school may not have a clue. They figure every house is like the one they came from every morning.
Right, right.
And your kids are just coming to school acting crazy because they are crazy. But no, they come from environments.
Well,
they act different.
You're making a good point. And I think back on, I see music as one of those skills that
mm-hmm.
last you a lifetime. I look at our cousin mm-hmm. up in, what's Wilma's boy? Wilma and George's
Wait.
Boy. What's his name? No,
Brandon.
I look at people like that. This guy, he's only got an education, right? But that guy can
mm-hmm.
play a piano, boy. That guy would never go hungry. You hear me? That guy
right.
would never starve. He will never, there will always be bread on his table. I look at people like him who picked up a skill somewhere along the way. And no matter what other
mm-hmm.
job he has, I don't know what he does on his full-time job. All I know, he has a skill that's going to last him the rest of his life. And my daughter, she has a skill. She plays the piano. And we got that in her early. She's now in law
mm-hmm.
school, of course. But there's a skill. She has a skill that she would never go hungry, because she can go play for the church. She can go play on a band. She can go play for a choir. She can do concerts if she chooses to. But I'm thinking that this might be my own little crusade. I'll be asking people like yourself to join me. I'm going to tell everybody to get at least one skill besides your regular thing you do.
Yeah.
And that may end up being the thing that you end up being your life changer. But just going to school to get an education because somebody told you, I think that's sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But that skill that you are just good at and can do it with your eyes closed, and somebody can slide you $100 here, $1,000 there, $5,000 there, man, that's good living. That's good living. I see it. I see these guys coming in my house fixing my plumbing and my roofs and stuff. Man, these guys, they can't speak English, half of them. Man, but they got a skill. And they're good at it.
I would pay a lot of money to know how to do any kind of plumbing or carpentry right now.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I get ready to get something done, I have to call somebody.
Yeah, and you and everybody else. You and everybody else.
I'll tell you another one of your little cousins that's he's got this skill at William.
Cherry Boy.
Yeah. He's got it too. He's really getting ready to do this. They're doing this play. And I'm getting him on the show in the next couple of weeks. He's doing this play. And matter of fact, let me get this part out first. They're doing this play at the Others Auditorium in Charlotte in August called Spare the Rod. Anyway, he and the director of the play are actually going to be at Anson Middle School on Friday. They're going to be talking about that play and explaining to kids things like we're talking about now, how to get, you know, something else to do, how to tap into the arts, you know. That's the focus of this particular day at Anson Middle School, getting kids to tap into the arts. Because you may remember we had Destiny Stone on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's going to be there also Friday. This guy, like I say, this is my passion, man, to get schools, you know, to be somewhere where I can complement what the schools are trying to do, you know. We have to get involved. You know, if you're going to get involved with something, getting involved with the educational process, you just can't go wrong with that. And we need to get up. Go ahead, Rob.
What I was going to say, that's why I got mad love with what you're doing with the Hollis Center. And I've kind of been, you know, watching and following and seeing and amening and jumping in where I can, because I think that's what it's going to take. The school systems need help. They really do. Because you're on the ground with it. You're at ground zero level. You seeing it happen. The school system, like you said, they're like a big boat. They can't turn around on a dime. They've got to, you know, when that thing's already pointed down the road, they can't just turn around instantly because all of a sudden technology changes. They got to see that thing through, but people like that are down on the ground can help them see what's coming down the road, identify what the needs are, and then help develop the programs to satisfy those needs. And that's why I think what you're doing and organizations like yours are invaluable. And I think that if somebody, like you said, if somebody's looking for a way to make a difference and they're not sure which way to plant their flag, and you can't go wrong with education. You just can't. You can't do it.
You cannot go wrong with education, man, because that is the future. I mean, when you got kids that don't know which whether they're going to turn left or right when it's coming to getting their education, you need to be there on the ground with them to push them back toward education. No. Go back over there. Go back over there. So many kids out there, they're really in a crossroads of like, what do I do? Why should I even stay in school? You know, you'd be surprised how many out there like that, man. They just don't see the point. You know,
yeah, they got to be
trauma going on around them. They just don't get the point. They don't have hope. They don't see what it's going to do for them.
Well, see, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. If you are focused on something that can just occupy your time, that's exciting and challenges you, and you become the best at it, that's that skill thing I'm talking about. And schools can do that. I think they need the help from HOLLA and Marketing Pulpit and Gatewood Financial and Justice Administration and all of us, all of our collective organizations, we've got to look at these kids and really help point them. See, by the time they get in their freshman year in college, if they haven't figured it out by then, I hate to say it, it's almost too late. Now they head down that meat grinder called college loans and school loans, and you know what I mean? It just grinds them up and spits them out, and now they're stuck in the basement with no marketable skills. We've got to help channel these kids in the right direction. If it's one of my clients up here, she's not a client, she's an associate. She has a program. It's called, it's really, the gist of it is alternative to college education. And they've got some pretty heavy hitters involved in it. And they're saying, look, we're not saying don't go to college. We're saying let's lay all the options on the table, because everybody's not college material. And so these folks, they're being put in college because everybody told them that's what they should be doing. They get in there, they fail. Some of them don't even graduate, and they still stuck with $50,000 worth of loans. That's a tragedy. And you can't dismiss loans. You can't dismiss student loans even with bankruptcy. And so that should not be. And I don't anybody ever think that I'm saying kids shouldn't go to college. I'm saying kids should be educated, but education to me does not necessarily mean a four-year college degree. It could be a trade school. It could be some type of certification. It could be a hands-on experience and some type of internship program. But they need to be trained, and whether it's formal education or not, but we've got to match the skills with the demand. I think that's where the challenge, that's where the problem is right now, because they're bringing all this labor over here from India and Pakistan and places like that. The Pakistani, the Indian government of India, they set on a path about 30, 40 years ago that they were going to become a technology powerhouse, and they invested their national budget, their national growth, national product, and training people in technology. They were a third world country, pardon the use of the term. They were what we would call a third world country. Now they are an economic industrial powerhouse. That just tells you what can happen when you redirect people where the demand is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They made a decision as a country. And we know if trying to get that done in this country just not going to happen. There's too much politics involved. So we have to do it at our level.
So what's the big deal in what's the education in the D.C. area? I know y'all up there with DeVos.
Well, they're fighting. I'm not as much in that world as some people, but there's always the unions. There's the Betsy DeVos. She's just like most of 45's appointees. They bring them into a department basically to destroy it. They're pushing they would like to privatize as much as possible. That seems to be the MO, really, of the right, the people on the right. They want to privatize everything, including education. They still in favor of giving tax credits for people who are choosing not to go through the traditional school systems. And so privatization is really just a code word for we want to get our hands on it so that we can make money on it and give people less than what they would normally get for the same amount of money. That's what's they're starting to look at our Social Security. They've been trying to privatize Social Security since it came about in 1935. And now the Trump administration suddenly has decided that that's one of their targets now, to cut back on some of the benefits, Medicaid, things like that. But if they do that, I mean, what do they want? Go back to pre-1935 when we actually had poor houses. The term poor house is not just a moniker. It's not just a pejorative term. But that was actually, in the turn of the century, that was actually a thing called poor house. When people couldn't find work and they were destitute and they had nowhere to go, you actually went to like a work farm. And so when somebody said you were going to the poor house, that was actually a real, that was not a, that wasn't just a parable. And so when you start privatizing things, government, and calling things like socialism a bad word, then the alternative to that is going to be more, like I said, zillionaires like we're developing now with Bezos and Zuckerberg and Gates and people like that who are making more money than they can ever spend. And you're going to have more and more people being driven to the fringes. And then you privatize it, something like Social Security. Then you got the Wall Street get involved, and they start gambling with the money and losing it and making more billions for themselves. And so that's what they're really trying to do to the school system, too. And Bessie DeVos, she's kind of leading that charge. And she should be fought at every turn.
Yeah, she's just like you said, the rest of these guys are punitive. They have zero substance, zero loyalty to the departments they're in, loyalty to the survival of the departments.
Yeah, they brought into this world.
Zero loyalty to the country
that
they supposedly are serving.
So,
I'm sick and tired of it.
But there's people up here fighting right now. There's like you say, in Congress, we have some warriors out there, and you know, and people are concerned about the threat of violence because what happened in New Zealand, and the people in the right now they're stocking up on guns, and people Trump is pretty much threatening that if he gets kicked around, he's gonna call on the police and the army and his biker gangs to pretty much save him. He sent out that dog whistle, and then you had Stephen King. He's retweeted some meme that said if there's ever a civil war between the blue and the red states, one side has 8 billion rounds of ammunition and the other doesn't really have anything. He said, "Who you think is gonna win?" And this come out of somebody in the Congress, and so those kind of talks. People, I say everybody, you need to keep an eye on what's going on there. This guy in New Zealand, he was not an outlier. He's trying to start something. I messed around and stumbled upon that video. Man, I had nightmares last night. That is a horrible thing to watch. I wasn't looking for it. I was flipping through my Facebook feed. I thought I was watching a video game. And it was that darn shooting in New Zealand. I said, "Holy crap, what is this I'm watching?" So we really have to keep an eye on what's going on with these right-wingers, extremists, what's happening with Trump. And really also, but don't get cynical, because there's a lot of people that feel just as strong against them as we do, and they're not our color. They are just as angry. There's a lot of white folks out here that are just as mad at Trump and these right-wingers as we are. And so I think the media sometimes makes it sound like there are bigger and more of them than it really is. It's enough of them. It's a lot of them. But they're not in a position to outweigh the people that actually don't believe in what they're doing. Unfortunately, they just happen to have more weapons, and that's a problem. That's a problem.
That's a big deal. That's a big problem. I got one more thing I want to get your opinion on before we have to get out of here, man. The Kellyanne Conway and George Conway situation. This is just something I just wanted to laugh about, kind of. This Kellyanne and George thing that's going on. I can't imagine being in a situation like that.
Well,
for a guy like Trump, and your wife is working for him, and you know he's a worm. You got to know she got to know he's a worm, and she just keeps saying defends him all day. I don't know. I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't.
Well, Trump said, I think Kellyanne was listening to the news the other day. And she heard Trump talk about her husband, and she kind of put in a position. And this kind of was her response. She doesn't know what to do. She got my husband over here. She got my husband over here calling my boss, basically saying he's mentally unstable. Really, I mean, he's putting up proof and documentation and everything. This guy's got narcissistic behavior, and then her husband, then Trump goes on the line, basically calls her husband a loser, a real loser.
Right.
You're talking about somebody who's laying there staring at the ceiling at night. That's Kellyanne Conway. Can you imagine that, though? Your boss is calling
your
husband a loser.
Why do you think she's a lawyer to that? Why would she continue to deal with that?
I think she has some kind of mental condition, too. I think she is, I think like a lot of these followers, these people who can't criticize Trump, it's a cult. It's like a cult mentality. You know, when doing David Koresh and Jim Jones, they talked a lot of people leaving their spouses to come live with him. And when you get a charismatic leader like David Koresh, Jim Jones, and a few other people out here that have embarked upon this crazy behavior, some people might even say somebody like R. Kelly, who has this really power over people. And there are certain people in society, they just don't have they're missing a gene or something that's supposed to tell you that's not right. And people that have that, people like Trump and Jim Jones and the likes, they know how to find those people. They'll find them, and they will fight them to the death. Remember that movie, Damien, where the lady had that dog, that little boy had the lady come live with her?
Yeah.
That reminds me of sometime. That boy got that lady, she would die for him. I mean, she actually died protecting that boy. There was nothing that boy could have done. And I think sometimes you get people like Kellyanne and Matt Gaetz, the guy in Congress who threatened Michael Cohen and Jim Jordan and the guy from North Carolina, what's his name, that was put the black lady on display. These kind of people, it's no helping them. It's you're wasting your time arguing with them. They're lost.
I don't argue with them, man. I don't waste my time with it. I know they have already decided that's the life they're going to live. When you listen to people who say, well, the first thing that come out of their mouth is say, well, what about the economy? That's when I just stop the conversation. I'm like, well, okay. Yeah, but I hear this from one of these old guys, these old conservative guys, I forget his name. And he was just telling his people. He said, I'm just trying to tell everybody, okay. He was trying to reason with them. He said, look, okay, if we got conservative policies that are making the economy good, so why do we have to have this lying, cheating guy that's an embarrassment to the entire world? Why do we have to keep him in office, though? We can still have the same policies.
That's
Nobody
right.
has an answer to that question. You know, he making sense.
Because Kasich or Romney, you know what I'm saying? Kasich or Romney, one of those guys can do the policy. You know what
right.
I'm saying? You don't need a crazy person
man,
to enact
crazy,
those policies.
Man. This guy, man, this is just.
I'm telling you, Leon, it's cult. It's cult mentality. I've studied
I'm
this.
If I
quit,
I hear the music coming. I got to ask you one thing right quick, though. What do you think about this deal about the Electoral College? I'm not sure about eliminating it, especially since we just came out with Trump. I still think that this convinced me we need something in place. I mean, I know they're saying the popular vote. This dude out here. Anyway, I know they're saying the popular vote is you should go with the popular vote. I'm just saying, what if you get a guy? You know, now that we know that this country, people in this country can be bamboozled. They can be getting into this cult mentality. I think that for people who that can't be hypnotized, there needs to be something in place to stop this.
Well, I think that I'm one of the ones who think that the Electoral College, I'm leaning towards thinking the Electoral College needs to go. Because it was put in place based on racism during the Missouri Compromise. It has a foundation based on racism and supremacy. And I think that the browning of America, the opening, the people being awakened, is actually causing the majority race to fear what the popular vote would look like. And I think we should let people vote, and whoever gets the most votes win. This is pretty simple to me. And if that means a crazy joker like Trump, if a crazy joker like Trump gets the most votes, I mean, that's scary. As scary as it might sound, then it's hard to twist the rules to keep crazy people out. It really is. You would think that Leon, though, I think that should be a vetting system. I think that you should have to get a clearance before you can become a presidential candidate. I think you should have get some type of security clearance. I mean, they got to check on your background, make sure you're not beholden to a foreign government, and things like that. I think that would weed out people Trump.
Check your taxes, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that should be part of the process. Because I can deal for a person whose policies I strongly disagree with. As much as I dislike the thought of Mike Pence being the president, I don't think he's exactly a crazy person. So I could deal with that. I could just vote him out the next time. I wonder sometimes we're going to have enough time for next time with somebody like Trump in the White House. That's the problem I have.
Here's the thing. I tell you, man, we're going to go. We've run out of time. I'm sorry. We're just really running out of time. Look, man, it's been nice talking to you tonight, Rob.
No, man, it's been good, man. Always. I think that we need to talk more and get more people to talk and let people know that the people are talking to us, and we're just bringing that talk to the table. And they're always willing to join. They're always welcome to join us. But I bring what I hear people talk about myself. I throw in my own little 2 cents, but I have my hand on the pulse of a lot of folks, particularly in the business community and in my community. So I think we need to bring that information out.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brother For Real Radio Show. We come back. You can come back and talk to us anytime, especially on Tuesday night. We'll be back. I'm sorry, on Wednesday night. We'll be back next Wednesday from 7 to 8. And we're going to be talking to us, and we're going to invite some people on the show to talk about some things that are going on. So please come back. God bless you.
All right, bro.
Good night, Robert. Good man. Come on.
It's too low to see. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me, oh, baby.